Hello, I hope you're having a great day. My name is Nathan Brummel, and I'm coming to you from Northwest Indiana with a few Chestertonian insights for the 21st century. Lately, I've been reading through G.K. Chesterton's books. By providence, I ended up having fall into my hands a large selection of his books. And what happened is a Roman Catholic college went kabunk, and I ended up getting a lot of their G.K. Chesterton collection, so it's kind of fun to have a whole bunch of G.K. on my shelves, and they're all the old books. You know, now I'm seeing that you can suddenly get his books in newer versions or on ebook as ebooks mainly. But it's fun to have in your hands the old book published in 1913 or whatever. And as I read through Chesterton, what strikes me is how much he does have to say that isn't stuck back in the early part of the 20th century. He has things that certainly have relevance for what's going on here at the end of the 20th, at the beginning of the 21st century. And so I'm going to have a number of sort of, I don't know what you call them, blog spots or some talks where I talk about really a G.K.-influenced approach to cultural and religious matters here in the U.S. of A. Now, one thing that struck G.K. Chesterton a century ago was how he had atheist friends who seemed to boast of their wild freedom. And at the same time, he discovered that they were quite slavish in their opinions. Well, 100 years later, I too am puzzled by evolutionary atheists who boast of how they possess some type of wild freedom, whether it's a sexual freedom or freedom to do whatever. And, you know, they're critiqued by Christians for their antinomianism even. Antinomian means against the law, and yet at the same time, you'll find that in their social relations and in their attitude towards what you can believe, they are slavish. On the one hand, you might be struck how, you know, the children of the 60s and then young people today kind of want to be unconventional. They want to be known for their rejection of Judeo-Christian morality, and they can wear that around like a laurel wreath. But I think that what is actually going on is that they are mysteriously conventional. Just look how they dress. Look how they act. Look how they communicate with each other on their social media. Actually, they are more rigorously legalistic than Moses on Mount Sinai. Their professors are the same way at the universities. I sometimes think that universities are Bible colleges or seminaries for the atheists. The professors teach an atheist secular evolutionary worldview, and they think that they have all the answers in their infinite wisdom. And their professors and these students seated on the highest hill in the Galapagos Islands, they carve out their commandments with fingers evolved from fins on tablets of limestone that lack all the missing links. Thou shalt not challenge natural selection or random chance as somehow the mysterious originating power of men and dinosaurs and fish. Thou shalt not question the rationality of philosophical naturalism that has the massive presupposition that there is no God and therefore you can't explain anything in the world in terms of its creator. And more commandments, thou shalt not talk about God the creator in the public schools or in the universities, even though there are all these uncomfortable arguments about irreducible complexity and evidence of design in everything from the largest structures down to every single protein. Thou shalt choose whatever gender you please today. Thou shalt refer to persons by whatever gender they choose, except for God. Yeah, God does have his chosen gender, doesn't he? And that's one place where the progressives in the church, who are simply unbelievers infiltrating the church, that's one place where they draw the line when it comes to allowing people to select their own gender. Yes, think of these bishops over in Norway and Sweden. Thou shalt refer to God as mother, they say. And, you know, these commandments are just the tip of the iceberg. The commandments are not limited to 10 by these new legalists. No, these university students invent a new commandment with every new discovery in the rational halls of feminist studies or in their class on biology. You know, they are at a community college even. They didn't get into Harvard, didn't get into Yale, didn't even get into the University of Michigan or Michigan State or anything like that. But, you know, the latest ideas they learn from their local community college professor, well, ingrained and contained in them are commandments of men. And these commandments say all kinds of very strange and yet interesting things. Like, thou shalt not be judgmental towards the ethical decisions of anyone else. Strange commandments like, thou shalt not believe that there is, in fact, ultimate truth. Now, these social authorities considered a sign of their high intelligence that they believe that their ancestors were something like an ape. Yet, when faced with the astonishingly impossible complexities of design in human beings from their eye to their heart to their brain, and with all of the complex information that's stored in our DNA in the human genome, they just prattle on about random mutations that have never produced actually any new genetic information. And these new legalists are ceremonialists. Rush Limbaugh is right to say that for the Democratic Party, their sacrament is abortion. They celebrate indigenous people groups instead of Columbus. They celebrate victims of war rather than the veterans. They celebrate Amerindians rather than the Pilgrims. They have a soft spot for Marxists and socialists. They celebrate Earth Day. They have all kinds of commandments that are connected to Earth Day. Thou shalt be green. They present awards to each other for saving the planet. And these radical innovators are blamed for not following the conventions of previous generations, but this makes them no less willing to enforce their conventions on the present living generation. Oh no, the present generation is not lawless. What happens every time you have antinomianism raise its head? What happens when there's rebellious against the moral will of God? Well, there's a vacuum, and into that vacuum comes sucking in the commandments of men. So here we discover the situation that the modern Puritans, if we want to use the false view of Puritans pushed by Chesterton, these new Puritans are a bunch of radical legalists and Puritans, and they have all of their moral ideas. And if you want to see them morally indignant, just transgress one of their hundreds and hundreds of political and religious commandments, and you will discover that also their laws will be enforced if they have the power to do so. That's why they need to have these nice, soft, padded rooms in their universities, so that their little precious ears can't hear of anyone even challenging any of their precious commandments. Now, there is a God in heaven, and the God of heaven has given a command, in fact, 10 of them, and they stand forever. But when man rejects God and worships himself or worships at the altar of Darwin, then he will produce his own new commandments, and then he will enforce them without having any type of moral qualms.